CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. There we go. We are live. CliffCentral.com. Thursday already. Sia's second last day for me. Sia's second last day on the show. Can you believe it? How are you feeling about things, Sia?
I'm always the second last.
Did you only find out now, Pums?
No.
Sorry, did Sia not tell you?
I only found out yesterday.
Okay.
Only found out yesterday.
Because I don't want a long drawn out goodbye. Yeah.
No, it's horrible.
Oh, you don't? Oh, you don't?
Believe it or not, he doesn't.
Contrary to what you might believe, no.
No, he's trying.
It's not what I believe, Sia. It's what you've told me for many years, over the many years, is how much you love the attention.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
I did not come up on this belief all by myself.
So I guess it's quite ironic that on last week, Friday's show, Leanne was on, Michael Flex was on, and we were talking about the topic of crying. And I mentioned how I'm not a crier. You know, I can get very emotional, but I don't really cry all that often. And at most, my eyes get a little misty, but I won't break into a puddle of tears.
Right.
But yesterday, I was watching a series, actually, Sispumi, you put me on, Pose. And it's on its third season, and it's the final season. So I was watching the final episode of the final season, and I think that almost broke me. Almost.
Ooh.
Just almost. And I think I started just, I got emotional about all endings.
Did you shed a tear?
No, I got misty.
Okay, all right.
It wasn't full-blown tears. I think I was crying for myself, crying for the series, crying for last week, crying for last year. It was just,
Well,
so I'm fine. Tomorrow I will be fine.
Well, you know, as we've always said on the show and on CliffCentral.com, no one ever really goes away forever. So, I mean, you know, everybody thought that we'd seen the last of Leanne, and then she pitched up again. Everybody thought they'd seen the last of Damon or Michael Flax or Ben or Mbulelo, and then they end up being back. And Sia will visit us. It's not like he's diving into another dimension and we'll never see him again, you know?
My favorite and my best in all of these last few days is someone who the listeners might not know directly, but Rina, who's part of our team and one of my bosses, she has, in all of our communication, has not point blank directly confronted the issues. She speaks in euphemisms or she speaks in inverted commas.
Yeah.
I think you have to just face the truth somewhere, but she goes, yes, moving on. Yeah. And, oh yes, final meeting. So I don't think she's properly come to terms with it yet. But
no.
We'll get this slowly.
And then she said to Sia, you and I will go for a lunch next week. This is her and Sia, and we won't have Gareth there. They won't have me at the lunch because I'll spoil it. They want to get they want to get all sentimental.
You know, you don't want to come to that lunch.
No, of course not. Hell no. Anyway, we got a bunch of things to do today. Sia has been here forever, says Ndogozo. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I'm going to miss you on the show, bro. Huh? That's nice.
Thank you, but that's when you know you should actually exit the ring. Yeah. You never want to be that guy who's still in the ring when it's time to go.
Well, I sometimes feel like that. You know, I sometimes think, what the hell am I still doing here? Aren't people bored with me yet? Can't I get out of this? Start doing something else?
No.
They keep showing up every morning.
Yeah, I promise you, if people didn't show up for the show in the morning, I would stop showing up as well. Stepping out of your comfort zone means you are growing. Comfort zones are so dangerous. We're going to miss you, Sia. That's from Tracy. That's nice. That's a very good sentiment for this time in the morning. Yeah,
thank you, Tracy.
That's spot on. So, Pumilele, how have you been, and what's news in your life? You guys have been back in your new premises and your new offices for a while now, and you've been working and you've been mothering is your son's school open or not at the moment? Because lots of schools are closed.
Homeschool nonsense.
Oh, you hate
that. That's what I'm on. I'm on that homeschool online nonsense.
Ugh.
Yeah, so he's in the boardroom at the office.
Yeah, right.
Which I think he likes it, kind of like Lord of all I survey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you must feel pretty important as a kid being in the boardroom and having the whole video stream system set up for you, you know. So this is your school.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure he loves it.
But I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's happening from week to week. So
yeah.
We're homeschooling again. Ooh. I hate it. But this is what I was saying to Sia the other day, that the thing I'm asking myself, because I'm thinking I need a new au pair now, actually. I need to, like, outsource this thing.
Yes.
Ah,
but, you know, the thing that worries me is, like your child is the most important
yeah
like
you have to say that.
Yeah.
No, right. No, parents are pressured to say that. If you don't say that as a parent, then people look at you and they go, oh, she's a bad parent.
But deciding who you entrust with that thing, you know how you don't give your car keys to just anyone? That's why we don't have valet services in this country.
No, in this country cars would just be stolen.
You just hand your kids over.
Yeah.
Hand your kid over. And I was wondering, like, how do you decide who to trust with what of your possessions? Like, do you leave people in your house, like, when you go away for a week or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, I
do
wouldn't...
Do you get a house sitter?
I wouldn't leave strangers in my house. I usually just lock it up. Because I think we do have trust issues, but it's even more of a problem with your child, and especially because... I think it's only fair to acknowledge what you are at this point, which is that you're tired. You need a break. You've been a full-time mom. You've been a full-time teacher. You've been a full-time businesswoman. And you just need to step off for a bit. There was a brilliant story, actually. I took a screenshot of it yesterday. I didn't get to read the whole article, but it's from Bumble, you know, the dating app. And Bumble has just given their staff a week out of the office. They've said to them, you don't have to come to work or be at work or anything. We'll automate everything for one whole week because we're worried about burnout.
Oh.
So we're going to give stressed out staff at Bumble an entire week off. And they say, is Bumble's week off for burnout the best medicine for stressed staff? And, you know, sometimes you do just need to get away from everything. Sometimes you just need to break the habits and the routines. And give yourself a moment to breathe. Otherwise, before you know it, you're going to end up with so much tension and stress, and then you take it out on the wrong people. And that's not what anyone wants to do.
So I'm just putting it out there, y'all. Anybody who's listening, who's an au pair, who wants to au pair, I'm in the market.
Put me need to. Now,
the vetting process?
Yeah, how would you go through interviews? How would you figure out who's a... Because how do you know?
Before, I had a student who was absolutely wonderful. She was like a B.Ed. So
that's
like a good thing, right?
That's perfect.
Right up her.
And I met her and kind of thought, is this, you know, nice person?
Yeah.
Could I? And when he was much smaller, I had a young man. Who was absolutely
fantastic.
Had
a Manny.
A
Manny.
He was very cute.
Is a Manny a male nanny? Am I being stupid? Is that obvious?
Yes.
Okay. Not a word I'm used to.
It's from This Is Us.
Yes.
From This Is Us, Garrett.
Okay. Haven't watched that. Sorry.
Get in touch. Get in touch with the pop culture.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
I'm so out of that.
So I don't know. But now he's bigger, right? When he was smaller, no one wants to, like, there are very few people, like, getting ready to run off with your little baby. But I have heard some horror stories. I had a friend whose nanny that used to live in help her. She would get up and go to work and small baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do they get up to during the course of the day? And she was driving during work hours. I don't know where she had to go from a meeting to another. And she saw her baby on the side of the road.
Oh, my God.
One of those begging ladies.
Turns not funny.
Out, oh, my God.
Turns out the nanny was like borrowing her baby out. For
oh, my God.
True story. Person I know.
That is horrific. That's horrific. See, I don't think that's funny. That's probably one of the most horrible things I've heard. Can you imagine driving past the traffic lights and you see your own child sitting at the traffic lights with some other woman and you're like, what the hell? What's going on here? Especially if it's like some...
As soon as she had turned around a corner, it was like baby for sale.
Shocking.
That is scary.
At least they brought the baby back at the end of every day.
Well,
that baby had no idea what was happening.
No.
Yeah, it's too small, and it can't tell you.
Shocking. That's easily one of the worst things I've heard. Now, while we're speaking about babies, Pumi has been slightly obsessed with the China one child policy, and there was actually a documentary that was made about this, right, Pums? You've watched it, One Child Nation?
Dude, it's on Amazon. It is harrowing.
Yeah.
So, like, we all know about it, right? China has a one-child policy. You're not allowed to have more. But I have never actually thought about what the intricacies of the policy is or the enforcement of the policy. Like, how do they enforce it, you know? Like, so you have two babies.
Yeah.
Ooh, guys, turns out that they are... were, because the policy stopped being official in 2015.
Only a few
2015,
years. It's only 6 years ago. Sure.
Now you can have two babies.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, so how did they enforce this? How did they actually make it work? Horrible people, those
people
Chinese Communist Party
actually,
people.
Dude, yeah, are so horrible. So in the documentary, the girl that made the documentary is an only child, but she now lives in America.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she made the documentary because when she was having a baby, which, you know, happens to a lot of people, she's kind of thinking, oh, you know, would I have more children, all of that stuff. Because she grew up a member of the Young Communist League and, you know, part of the culture, and it's everywhere. And so she went back to do this, like, asking people about the one policy. How did you feel having one child? Dude, they would rip children away from their parents.
Oh, my God.
You know, in the villages. So in the villages, if you had two babies, they would take the baby away. But they also had a huge kind of abortion practice where they weren't above, like, forcing people to have an abortion even as far along as, like, 8 months.
Oh, my God.
Wait, so if you had multiples, even twins, that was a no-no?
They took the twin away. They took the twin away.
And killed it or, like, put it in foster care?
Gave it up for adoption. So they sold babies into international adoption. So there are people out in the world who've adopted a Chinese baby, thinking, you know, they're adopting this baby and want a child, whatever, only to find... So there's a family, a couple that she also interviewed, who found out that their child was actually somebody taken from another family. People would abandon their children in the market.
I'm horrified. I'm horrified. I mean, just when you think that the Chinese government couldn't be worse people, and that the policies that they come up with in their Politburo, you know, their secretariat, you think they couldn't get any worse. And you hear these stories, because I haven't seen this documentary. I don't know if I want to. It sounds very upsetting. Is there anything more horrible in the world? Is there anything worse for a parent than to lose their child? And not to a disease, some complication in childbirth or an accident or any of that stuff, but the willful social engineering of a tyrannical regime. Is there anything worse than a parent? Wow. I mean, you know,
is most fascinating about it, what is absolutely most fascinating about it, I mean, this is the thing about good intentions, right?
Yeah.
Because what they were trying to avert is this like balloon population that they're unable to feed or
right.
It is amazing how deep the indoctrination is for the people. Like there's like propaganda everywhere. There's posters, there's theater pieces, there's music, there's about how good this policy is.
Yeah.
How good this policy is. So people also believe that it's what they need to do for their country to flourish and survive and be. It's so unbelievable. And also just to watch away from Beijing, away from Hong Kong, away from Shenzhen, the big cities that we see, what real China looks like, what the villages look like, what out there in the rest of China.
It's not a pretty picture.
And then pardon my ignorance, what is the punishment should you want to keep your child? Well, firstly, the word "once" there.
You don't have a choice.
It's a choice.
It's not up
to you. You don't have a choice.
No.
But I'm sure maybe there's some incidences of people who were lying about having two children or keeping them hidden. Was it as far as like imprisonment?
How are you going to hide a whole human being?
Yeah, and
chuck it off to another relative, say it's their child
or
something.
The worst part of a brainwashed society like this,
they're all holding you accountable.
Your neighbors will report. Wow. Your own family will tell the government. This is what you know. When George Orwell wrote 1984, he spoke about how the state take your child. I mean, it was a fantasy novel, but it was basically laying out the blueprint for what would eventually become international communism. And he's very clear about in the book, the state does that. They own you and you are just a number in their machine, and your children belong to them too. The indoctrination, the brainwashing. I mean, this is like Goebbels level tyranny. This is Goebbels level propaganda.
And so understand that it's not like finger wagging kind of.
Yeah.
It's subtle, right? So they have plays, they have music on the radio, they have, and it's all la la la. You know, one child. How good one child is,
this and make
why
our,
you must have
make
one
the nation
child.
Great.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
No. And forced sterilizations. So but what astounds me more than anything is that it's always the women, right? So it's the women that they're sterilizing. I'm like, why don't you sterilize the men? Like.
Yeah.
You know?
And of course, now they're stuck with this problem because there's such a patriarchal society too, that they only have men now, and there are too few women to marry the men. So now they're saying to people, please produce women. This is social engineering. When people say to you, oh, there's nothing wrong with a policy as long as it gets society to do the right thing, you know, keeps them safe. This is what they're talking about. Social engineering. I have a suspicion that somewhere in the next 10 years, 20 years, maybe it'll take a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. People will look back on what China has been doing since Mao, and they'll say that that is probably one of the most murderous, wicked regimes in human history. They'll equate it with the Nazis and with Stalin and with all the very worst of humankind. And they'll say these people were pure evil, these governmental agents, these bureaucrats in China. Pure evil. Watch.
Sure. It's just...
Wow.
Like, mind-blowing, guys. Mind-blowing. Also, you know, I mean, I've heard about the policy all my life because it actually only really got going. Mm. So, obviously, Mao was talking about it, but it only got going kind of in 1979 and then was signed into the Constitution in 1983. Like, this is yesterday. This is like modern day era. It's not like this is a thing that is coming from.
The other thing about this, by the way, is that since China started this policy, they didn't foresee that they would run out of women, but they also didn't foresee that without population growth at the rate that they were growing, their economy is also going to slow down. So it's bad news on all fronts for China, because if you don't have more people, you don't have more of a workforce, you can't produce more stuff, you can't keep the economy growing at the rate that it was growing at. And of course, China is slowing down already. And they're very, very nervous about that, because if the economy doesn't keep growing, they lose control of the people. You know, as soon as the money runs out, as the ANC has discovered, once the money starts running out and you're not producing at the rate that you were before, or you're not going up and up and up in production, then eventually those people become very disenchanted with the government. And it doesn't take much for China, despite all of its autocracy and its tyranny and its centralized control and all of that stuff, it doesn't take long before ordinary Chinese people start going, maybe we can do better than this. And then they start, you know, there are revolts. There are already revolts breaking out all over China. And we don't hear about it because they control the news to such a degree.
But also, you know, you talk about social engineering. One of the things that we never pay attention to is the cycle of human life, right? So young people look after old people.
Right.
The young people, in two ways, whether you're looking after your old parents or relatives, or quite literally looking after them as they get older, you also look after them as a society, because young people work so that there's money in society, right, so that they can, you know. But so they have a lot of old people now.
Right.
They have a lot of old people. And they're, you know, in Africa, we've got a bottom triangle. Old people are less than young people. And they actually have an inverted triangle. They have lots more old people than young people. And that kind of warped society is also problematic, right? Because who looks after the old people? Who looks after the well-being of old people? Who looks after the mental well-being?
There's another thing that's being brought up here by White Barry, who says that it's not what you think. The majority of Chinese who are leaving China or working overseas are either prisoners or relatives of prisoners who are paying a debt of a convicted prisoner relative by going to work abroad. So when you see these, you know, these teams of Chinese people in Mozambique, for example, building bridges and so on, they're actually prisoners or the relatives of prisoners who are paying their imprisoned relatives' debt. That's how it works in China. And, I mean, it's just because there's no individual, there's no concept of individual sovereignty, right? And there's no concept of individual rights. You don't have any of that in China. You have collective rights, and there is a collective need, and that collective need needs to be fed by the people. So you're just insects in a hive, and you have to operate by hive mind. That's how it works.
Look at Sia's face.
No, it's disgusting. This is why I keep saying to people,
it seems like a world away, but you know, some people are still living like
this.
It's
happening while we're alive, and we're watching this, and you know, they're comments that are coming through now on YouTube about people saying, yeah, but people aren't outraged by this. Is it really happening? Trust me, it's really happening, and it should be a more outrageous thing. But for some reason, you know, people prefer buying cheap Chinese goods than actually caring about the people of China, and that's not going to stop for a long time. You know what the world is like. As long as you give us gadgets and stuff, we'll just pretend everything's fine. I do want to change subject, though, because we've got to get to headlines. It is 6:30 already. Let's see what's going on in the news.
Already,
Pumi. You've held us in the palm of your hand under suspense for such a long time with this one child policy thing, that now we've got to move on. Let's just look at the decuplet drama, because remember, this is what we were talking about last week, Pums. So apparently, I know, what a story. The Gauteng government says it's deeply concerned by the conduct of the editor of the Pretoria News, Piet Rampedi. Now, have you seen what Piet Rampedi looks like?
So he's not the editor. Is he the editor?
He's the editor.
He was just a senior journalist, because I saw a letter yesterday where Piet is apologizing
yes.
to his colleagues.
Yeah.
And and the editor.
Here he is.
And so...
Here's Pete. That's Pete Rumpetti. Smiling like that. He's having a great time, isn't he? It's just terrific.
I'm not going down there with you guys.
No, well, here he is. It comes after the paper reported in early June that Hosiyama Sithole had given birth to 10 babies at Steve Biko Academic Hospital and that the government was trying to cover up medical negligence. So the government has actually just said it's very concerned about Pete Rumpetti. And they've said in a statement they had since established Sithole had not been pregnant or given birth at all. So the whole thing was a lie.
There are so many.
I can't believe
listen,
this.
There are so many questions. What about that picture?
I know. Of
Iqbal and the mega check. And the, I mean, they printed. You have to print those checks.
Exactly.
They don't come out of a checkbook, right?
Correct.
You have to print that check.
Mm-hmm.
And the big check, the picture of Iqbal handing over the big check to the dad. What about the picture of the dad and Pete and the mom with that,
Nobody seems to know.
Pete is not alone.
No, it's madness.
Pete, and Pete
also,
is not alone.
We know, one thing about South Africans is we love to talk.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this woman then just stuffed her T-shirt and or dress and she's now pregnant overnight. None of the neighbors spoke. None of the church, her fellow churchgoers said a thing. Or did she then plan this for months on end? Which then I actually find slightly admirable. Okay. You were putting this axe on for 6 months. Okay.
Listen here. What about Mzwandile Masina tweeting that he and some comrades on the ground have found the family and the babies and they are assisting them? Guys.
No, there's a lot going on here that we should not be pleased with. I mean, fake news, right? Fake news. This is it. We're in the era of fake news. If you need any more proof that there's fake news, you've got it now. It's right here in front of you.
Corona's boring. What is this? What is this handle? But anyway,
Corona's boring.
Maybe
what
it's
did
more
you say?
Serious than that. What if she has a massive tumor?
Perhaps. Maybe. Tracy reckons.
I think it's just
I still reckon that Billy was either yoga ball
a yoga
or
ball,
the Brian Mid. Hey, I actually throw that out.
You saw the yoga ball, right? I mean, like whatever's going on under that that dress of hers. That's not normal. That's not a normal thing.
I want to contact the Academy Award then and say if this woman was putting this up for 6 months, take Meryl Streep off next year's list. This woman deserves an Oscar. Because she needs every single time she gets up off a chair, every single time she walks in her garden, every time she goes and buys her groceries, she needs to remember to oof and wince and then creak as she bends over.
You can have a mental illness that creates a pseudo pregnancy.
Yes.
Right?
A phantom pregnancy,
the symptoms.
Yeah.
Where you have all the symptoms. I don't know how many people know this, but that's the reason why Shaga was called Shaga.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually... Ishaga. That's what they thought Nandi had, right? Some kind of phantom pregnancy, but there was no real pregnancy.
Yeah.
So...
But look, don't give them a PR cop-out that they can use as a strategy here.
It's not a cop-out. I mean, this is a real thing. Well-documented medical phenomenon.
Well, there's some other news, too. Deputy President Didi Mabuza has paid tribute to the former ESCOM chair, Jabu Mabuza. The deputy president was speaking during his funeral service in Ermelone in Mpumalanga on Wednesday. Mabuza passed away due to COVID-19 complications. And this is what the deputy president said, because they have the same surname, right? He said, he made me to understand myself, he says. My parents did not tell me anything about where I came from. But Jabu, because of the love of the family, explained it to me. So obviously, You know, he didn't. He just took his surname for granted. Never had any curiosity about it at all. And then Jabu Mabuza sat Didi Mabuza down at some point and said to him, "This is where our family, the Mabuzas, come from." Fantastic. South African Defence Force, that is the National Defence Force of this country, have accused cross-border smuggling. Have been accused of cross-border smuggling and will remain in custody for the rest of the month, at least 7 people in our National Defence Force. They're facing charges of smuggling a vehicle across the Limpopo River in exchange for money. Wow. These are our own army. Nice. Our own army smuggling cars across the border to Mozambique. Great. It's understood they were charging 15,000 rand a car, allowing the vehicles to cross the border into Zimbabwe unhindered. So that's all it costs you to smuggle a car across the border. So if you hijack a car in this country and you want to get rid of it in Mozambique, where there's a market, all you have to do is pay some army person 15,000 rand. You can get it across the border. Doesn't that make you feel good? And then finally...
And soon they'll be in there. Is it Puma or Adidas? Soon they'll be in their brand new Puma...
Have new uniforms.
Designed uniforms.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's all we need. Well, speaking of Mozambique.
You didn't see this?
Speaking of Mozambique, countries in Southern Africa agreed on Wednesday to deploy forces to help quell a bloody jihadist insurgency that is wreaking havoc in northern Mozambique and has been for the past 3 years. So SADC has decided that they're going to deploy a standby force in Mozambique to combat terrorism there. So at least our army are also being deployed for good things, not just for smuggling vehicles across the border. Any comments on that? No, didn't think so. It's kind of embarrassing, actually, if you ask me. And then one last thing, because we don't want to leave you on a low. Kamala Harris is going to the border. And this has been a big deal for a long time now. People are very excited in America because they've been saying to Kamala for, half a year now since she was sworn in as vice president, and she's been put in charge of border control by Joe Biden, and the kids are in cages and all that stuff. So Kamala is finally going across the border, or rather to the border, to go and see for herself what's going to be happening in what will no doubt be a well-managed, stage-managed photo op more than anything else. So let's all hold our breaths for Kamala. How would she say, "I'm coming to the border, Joe"? How would she say that, Sia? You can do a pretty good Kamala Harris.
She's doing it, Joe. I'm going to make my way all the way to the border. She did it, Joe.
You got to cackle.
I just want to go and see the people on the border.
There
yeah.
Something like that. There she is, Kamala Harris. Aren't you excited? All right, very good. That is about all the amount of headlines that we can fit into one helping this morning for breakfast. So let's move to something much
more.
But
you have to see. Look at Tracy's comments. Look at Tracy's comments about her husband.
Tracy Barnes
about her husband and all her pregnancy symptoms.
My husband got all my pregnant symptoms, nausea, cravings, etc. I had none. And to top this, a friend of mine, when she was pregnant, her dog started lactating.
What the TLC reality show waiting to happen is going on here?
That is atrocious. Atrocious.
I didn't know I was pregnant, but then this is a reality show. I didn't know my dog was pseudo-pregnant. What is going on?
Well,
Charlie's busy lactating.
I'll tell you what, we have something much more exciting to do this morning. And that is that we're going to speak to somebody whose voice is well known to us, and someone who's been kind of a part of our Cliff Central family from some distance. But she and her mum and her dad have played a role in our lives at Cliff Central. In fact, our first consignment of furniture, when we really only had garden chairs in the office, was from Hersh's. Mm. And I've known of this person for a very long time. I'm sure you've heard her voice in all the ads. You know the business, but it's time for us this morning to actually meet Lucy Hersh. And if you're currently looking for TVs, appliances, or any other things that you need for your home, and if you're looking for them at a bargain, we have some good news for you. Hersh's is one of the most reliable and the biggest brands in South Africa, and they can sort you out with that. And their special deals, they've got a special winter sale on. And trust me, at this stage, after coronavirus and after lockdowns and going back into lockdowns and everything else, You need to make sure your home is kitted out properly, not just for winter, but for everything, because you're teaching at home. If you've got kids, you're working from home. You're trying to be a mom or a dad, or you're trying to run your household as well. You need to save wherever you can. So Lucy's here to help us out with that. Lucy Hirsch, how nice to see you. How are you?
Good morning, Garrett and team. How's it?
How's it?
Yay.
So nice to see you, Lucy. I've heard your ads for thousands of years. We've met your mum, Margaret, who we love to pieces, and here you are, finally on the show. It's good to see you. Tell me about the sale.
And I'm happy to be here. I'm really happy to be here.
I know.
I have to say, sorry, carry on.
No. It's just taken us too long to get you on the show, but here you are eventually. Lucy Hirsch, go on. Tell us about the sale.
So we have got a very exciting winter sale on the go at the moment. And I think what has become very apparent in our lives is that people are happy to spend money on their homes. Mm. From a hygienic point of view, you've never needed your home to be more clean and your household to be more clean.
Absolutely.
And also from a convenience point of view, a lot of people are spending a lot more time at home.
Yeah.
And doing a lot more things within their home. A lot of people have had family move in with them, aunties, uncles, cousins, mothers, kids that have come back from varsity that are moving in with them, that are studying from home. And you actually want to be comfortable. And that's where we are able to help you.
So you guys have got an incredible range of stuff. And really, Hirsch's has just grown in leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. It's a very successful business. But you pride yourselves in being able to get people good deals and being able to find the best possible stuff from all over the world. I actually had a tour with your mum once of one of your stores, and she told me all about what's going on there. It's fascinating. So let's just quickly find out about the story of Hirsch's, because most people don't know this. Tell me about how it all started and how you guys as a family have made this business and how it's grown.
So my parents actually started Hirsch's back in 1979. So and I was just a year old.
Wow.
So there you go. And my brother Richard was two. And my father had always been a plant technician who had fixed appliances in people's homes. And he often would get to a situation where he wasn't able to fix a plant, and the person would have to buy a new appliance. And people are all about convenience, and he'd have to say, look, I'm so sorry, I can't fix your fridge. You're going to have to buy a new one. And the lady would say to him, is there any way you could help me or assist me or give me some advice? And he'd say, I'm so sorry, I just fixed appliances. And he went to his boss and he said, there's definitely a gap in the market to supply appliances when we can't fix them.
Yeah.
And his boss said, I disagree with you completely. We need to stick to what you're doing and not at all. And he never let go of this. He kept bringing this up. And eventually his boss said, you know what, Alan, I think you're so smart. You could do it yourself. And he did.
Well, I mean, you know, people always tell you that you shouldn't go into business with family. But you guys are so tight and you do this so well that you must be one of the best examples of how a family business can run. Family is obviously massively important to you. Did you grow up in the shop? I mean, is this, you know, you hear about people whose families are in retail and they kind of grew up behind the till. Their cot was over there. They had to walk up and down the aisles at like toddler age trying to find their mom. Is this what it was like for you?
Completely. I think Hirsch's has always been the third child and part of our family and kind of something that we've done. But I can tell you that my brother and I have done every single job in the whole of Hirsch's, from going in the delivery trucks to being cashiers. I can say this now. I think I probably was the best switchboard operator ever in the whole of Hirsch's. We really have. We've grown up with the company. We know the intricate aspects of it. We've worked in all the departments for a long periods of time.
Right.
I mean, I actually think my best experience probably came when I was like 24 or so. I worked as my mother's PA for 2 years.
Uh-oh.
And I tell everyone this, if you want to learn a company, be a PA to the big boss, because that is probably when I learned the most and got to really be involved in the most part of the intricate running of the business as well.
You know, your mum is, she is a powerhouse, hey? I mean, I wouldn't.
Completely.
I wouldn't want to be her daughter and be in trouble with her as an employee.
Well, luckily I was very good at my job.
Well, thank God for that. All right. So Hirsch's is more than a retailer though, because this is the story that you just told us about your dad. It was out of seeing an opportunity here and also out of being able to help people that he decided to start this business all those years ago. But let's just talk about the functions that you guys host at Hirsch's, and you do all this networking, and your mom is a bit of a social media star as well, because she does all these talks. She's well known as a businesswoman, and she speaks often about her own experiences in the world of retail. Tell me about these networking functions that you guys host.
Well, to be honest, we've always realized that there's a lot of places that people can buy their appliances from. And so when you shop at Hirsch's, you're getting so much more than just the appliance you buy. We've always prided ourselves on having phenomenal customer service and being a part of the community. And I think it's just from that it just grew, where we started having networking functions. And obviously, it's all been a little bit different at the moment with, you know, crazy COVID and all. But we started with having a lot of people would buy these fancy appliances and they wouldn't work in themselves. They would get their housekeepers to manage them. And it would be so difficult because the housekeeper wouldn't necessarily have been in the shop. They would hardly have any information. So we started off getting housekeepers to come in on afternoons and the mornings and actually teaching them about the appliances and how they work, so they could have the knowledge that they needed to function with them. And then from there, it just grew with a lot of, my mom is, as you know, is passionate about people starting their own businesses. And then she wanted to give them a platform where they could share their stories and get advice from other people and just be in a community, because I think we really do know that we thrive in community.
I think that's so important. I mean, you use the word housekeepers, but essentially a lot of South Africans would know that as domestic workers or, you know, someone who comes in once or twice a week. Maybe they stay on the property and they kind of look after everything. People, that relationship of trust is hugely important. Plus, a lot of the decisions around what is bought in the house and how much money is spent on appliances or on equipment or any of that stuff, those decisions are often made by the housekeeper / domestic worker. So it's great that you guys saw that so far ahead of everyone else.
And also wanted to help them, because it's anyone, any job that you're doing, if your tools aren't working, it's incredibly stressful. Yeah. If you don't know, and also for maintenance. Yeah. So a lot of people didn't educate on how to clean dishwashers properly and even microwaves and things. So many of our service calls were just basic, you know, things that could have been prevented if the correct information had gone down the right channel.
So I started off by forcing you to talk about the sale, but I'm going to force you to do it again, because we still use, by the way, all that stuff at Cliff Central that you guys gave us 7 years ago.
The
sofa that we have in our sort of reception area, it's been sat on by all the rich and famous and the good and the no good of South Africa when we've had them there for interviews. In fact, we even had Skolopat, the artist. She even had a sleep on the sofa after her interview one morning. We had to wake her up and send her home. But it is great stuff, and I know that you are on top of exactly what the sale is. So there are obviously savings all over the place, but what kinds of things do people really love in a sale like this? What are your favorite things? What sells like hotcakes?
So for me, I've got to say there always are like quite a few like really special deals. And for, at the moment, I would say the Philips Double XL air fryer, which just is a game changer, because it's just a massive air fryer that you can put a whole chicken in and potatoes and whatever. You mean you can do whatever you pretty much want to do. So I really think that is a great deal at 4,299 Rand. And another thing that has been flying off our shelves is the Instant Pot. Because if you have an Instant Pot, you can make
that?
A cheesecake, you can make a curry. It's basically, if you think about it, it's a pot that plugs in that you cook in. So it's one device, but it literally has 9 functions. So it's almost like a little, like if you were cooking on the stove on a pot, but it's all contained. So it's very small, it's easy to manage, it's portable.
That
sounds really one of our hottest appliances.
I'm useless in the kitchen. So are there non-kitchen things that I might benefit from?
Do you know what? We have found that people have really upgraded their TVs of note.
Uh-huh.
So we decided to go big on TVs, because we're spending more time at home. A lot of people never downloaded things like Netflix and Showmax before, because they were hardly ever at home. There's obviously been a lot of growth in that. So we've decided to go big on TVs. There are some super TV deals. and a lot of TVs that we haven't stocked before that we've managed to get in. Because, awesome. You know, there's often industry was closed and industry was, we never quite knew what was happening,
right.
But we've been quite lucky. And also some great, lovely big Smeg stoves that are on sale. And yeah, really tried to cover everything.
Listen, you really are such an inspirational family, and I'm just pleased that we were brought together at the beginning of our business, because we couldn't have done it without Hersh's. And I thought all these years later, it would be great to actually meet you on the show, have a chat to you. Now, I believe that there might be some more stores opening, you know, while the economy is still coming out of COVID. this is a testament to how much you and your mum and your dad and your brother have put into this business and how clever you are. You guys aren't shutting down stores. You're opening more.
Well, Gareth, you are actually very well informed. that is correct. We are. So we are a national company. We started obviously in Durban and then moved on to Johannesburg and then on to Cape Town. And we've loved being in Cape Town. Cape Town is, we have a store in Milnerton and in Somerset West.
Right.
And we thought it was time we met somewhere in the middle.
So where are you opening this new one?
We are looking to open in the Constantia area.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Which is very exciting. It's all happening, and it's been quite nice to have something like this in the pipeline to be working on.
Well, people can always head over to hirschs.co.za. That's hirschs.co.za. But before I let you go, is there a new generation of Hersh's? Because when you – I mean, it's not like your mom and dad are going to retire, right? They're going to work right till the end. They're such powerhouses.
No.
So,
they love it. No, not anytime soon.
So once they do decide to take it easy, which is probably another 20 years away knowing them, are you and your brother going to run things? And then is there another generation of Hersh's to take over after that?
Do you know that between my brother and I, we have 5 sons?
Perfect. That's all I needed to know.
They're a bit young at the moment, but they'll get there.
That's awesome. Are you grooming them already to understand the business?
They really like the business, and they like all the things in the business, but it's actually about as far as they've got.
Well, Lucy, it's lovely to meet you and great to talk to you. And keep on producing all those amazing deals and helping people with making their homes that much better. It's great to see you, and thanks for being on the show this morning.
It was so nice to finally chat to you, Gareth. I know we've chatted before on all sorts of other social medias and emails and things, but it was nice to chat face-to-face.
Yeah, this is it. I love it. Very good. Nice to see you.
Have a good day.
Lucy. Thanks so
much. You too. Cheers.
There we go. That's Lucy Hersh. And you do want to check out their sale, because trust me, if there's anything that we've all realized over the last while, it is that we need to start making our homes more livable and more fun. If your home isn't what you want it to be in these days and at this stage of your life after all the lockdowns and things, then you've missed the opportunity to turn it into your office, to turn it into your boardroom, to turn it into your school, like Pumi was saying this morning. You know, got to get all this shit in line.
And I can give you a testimonial about that one part.
Hmm? Oh, do you like
magic.
It?
Oh.
You use it, huh? Very nice, Pums.
All the time.
Oh,
you can make like sand in 2 hours.
Really?
Hmm.
How long does it usually take? To me, 2 hours of cooking anything is too long.
Oh, gosh. No,
yeah, but you don't have to do anything.
Affair.
You just, like, you just leave it in the pot and set it on a timer. And then, like, 2 hours later, ta-da! You can make oxtail.
You think I would...
Also in an hour.
Do you think I would get it right? I mean, I can't do anything. Did you hear I told her about Skolopat and her falling asleep on the sofa? See, you remember that. Skolopat.
I remember that.
Skolopat fell asleep on the Hersh's sofa in our office. Yeah. Jesus. Unbelievable.
Gosh, there's certain memories that I think we're better off not reliving, and I think that's one of them.
Well, I mean, I've got...
But that's because you'd driven it all the way from Bloemfontein that morning. Do you remember?
That's true. Yeah.
Yes.
She was very
that's
tired.
That's why she needed like 6 slices of brown bread.
Yeah, we had to go and get her 6 slices of brown bread. Do you remember that?
Oh, Skola.
She was one of the most complicated guests. She had there was a rider.
A rider?
Yeah, with for Skolopat, who I don't even know if she's still around. Does anybody know what happened to her? Is she still making music? Is she still dressing up?
She's definitely still dressing
did
up because we follow
music?
Her on it. Yeah, Skolopat did.
Yeah.
We still follow her on Instagram. The last time I saw her, she was in Cape Town with her friends. So, you know, she has a social life.
Okay, that I did not know. I sort of lost touch with her.
Oh, yeah, she is naked.
Oh, great.
The 5th of June.
Okay, well, so she's very much still in the swing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just, listen, this is on Instagram. I'm not like, just, at least I can show this. This is more friendly.
That's nice. There we go. Okay, so she's still out there doing her thing. Sia, just quickly tell us, because you were meant to tell me about this yesterday and we didn't have time, and I know we've got the Burning Platform coming up, but there's this amazing app for blind people, which you were just about to tell us about yesterday, and then I had to end the show. Tell me.
Oh, man. Okay, so if you feel like you want to... Yeah, I'm still on the fence with it, but I think they mean well with it as well. It's such a sweet idea. It's called Be My Eyes, and it's available on app stores, et cetera, et cetera. You download that, and that is on the other side, rather the receiving end of things, is a blind person who signs up to the app as well. And if they're having some sort of issue, if they are trying to deal with something there and then, the moment, they are able to connect with you via video call or FaceTime for you to help them out with things. And the reason why it caught my eye, excuse the pun on this, is because it's certain things like it's someone who's visually impaired and they don't have their family around and they just need to know, is this milk still good?
Okay.
You know, when does it exactly expire? You know, they don't have braille for something like that. So they can quickly video call you and you're able to help them out. And that's just it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's very sweet, isn't it?
And see, anybody could get the app on their phone. Anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and you download that, you are able to just help someone in a matter of seconds, and that's it.
And you can help anyone. You don't know where they might be in the world, the blind person who's on the other side. They could be in Canada or in Timbuktu or in Ouagadougou or in Tokyo.
Yeah, they just might, they might need to know, is the store open or closed? What button should I press?
That's amazing.
You know, how do I change the settings on my remote? It's called Be My Eyes. So I think it's very, very,
that
it means
is
well.
Phenomenal. All right, I'm looking forward to trying this out. I mean, there's a way you can honestly get involved and help someone you don't even know and do a truly good deed. And maybe that should be our one thing for the week, is download this app and maybe help someone. Be My Eyes is what it's called. And if you have somebody in another country somewhere who can't see and you can help them, who knows? You might be able to, you know, to change their lives for the better, or just help them with something small like the milk is gone off or whatever.
Or just change the complexion of their day.
Exactly. No, I think that's great.
You don't have to change their life.
If you feel like making a difference, this is probably the easiest way to do it. I mean, you know, you could switch it on and off when you're available to help. And then these people who need you can ask for it. It's terrific. I think that's amazing. Yeah. All right, very good. We've got the Burning Platform coming up next, which I'm very excited about this morning, as always. The Burning Platform with Phumi Mashego. And this morning, we're joined by Gareth van Onselen, who's always terrific to talk to. And it's, you know, another quiet week, obviously, in politics, so there's just nothing to talk about. Yeah, sure. I'm being sarcastic. So we'll get into the Burning Platform in just a moment or two with Gareth van Onselen, and we'll talk to him and to Phumi and hear your thoughts, and you can send us your questions too. Just send them straight to the screen if you're watching us on YouTube Live. If you want to email us, gareth@cliffcentral.com, or if you're listening to the podcast, you can listen in whenever you like and obviously get the stuff at a time that's convenient for you. That's all coming up next. Don't go away. Gareth van Onselen and the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. That is coming up next. CliffCentral.com.